Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be taking our journey through 1 Chronicles chapter 18. You know, almost all of us had a school bully that we had to contend with. I remember walking home one day with the school bully thinking, he likes me. Maybe I'm safe. After we approached a street where he peeled off to go home, he asked me with his house in sight, ever had a Hertz donut? Liking donuts and hoping to eat one with this powerful 10-year-old, I said, why no, I don't think I have. Faster than a bullet train, his right fist slugged me hard in the shoulder, giving me a Charlie horse. Hertz donut, he guffawed before walking off laughing to his brilliant joke. I promised never to be caught in that again, and from then on, my best friend and I formed an alliance. We both had our butts handed to us by him, but from then on, we both decided that two could stand against one, and if we were going to get our butts kicked, we'd take him down with us and hurt him first. You know, the funny thing about bullies, it only took him one time to realize if he was going to take one of us, he was going to have to take us both on. We never beat him in a fight, but we did stand our ground, and he quickly realized we weren't the easy prey he was looking for. From then on, our alliance told him that he'd get a twofer with us, two for the price of one, and for every two black eyes he gave us, he'd pay for it with one himself first. Israel was no stranger to bullies, and this chapter is about David standing up to them and breaking the cycle that we read about in the book of Judges. Saul had started fights he couldn't completely finish, but David would be victorious with God's help. In fact, David and Goliath shows a contrast between how Saul fought his battles, depending on his own strength, and how David fought from day one, depending on and trusting completely in God. Now, we've already talked about the fact that David's kingdom grew to the biggest it ever was under David's rule. David, the warrior poet who worshiped God, expanded God's kingdom, becoming a picture of the Messiah. David, however, reigned as an earthly king, whereas the Messiah would expand a heavenly kingdom or a kingdom not of this world, whose dominion, according to Daniel, would know no end. Now, this chapter talks about the treasures and instruments of war that David takes. We call that the spoils of war. He plunders his enemies, the Philistines in verse 1, the Moabites in verse 2, the Syrians or Arameans in verses 3 through 10. With these victories came the plunder, the spoils, or as the pirates say, the booty mighty. If you remember, during the time of the judges, these were the peoples who had taken from Israel for years. And now, David was taking it all back. It started when David ran at the bully Goliath, and now David was standing up to all of Israel's bullies. You see, Israel had been a nation that had had to stand against many a bully over the years, whether pharaohs throughout history, Roman emperors, German Nazis, or misguided popes during the Middle Ages. They have been a persecuted people throughout history, and under David, they regained their freedom. And verse 11 tells us about the riches that began to flow into the nation. Verse 11 says, King David dedicated these articles to the Lord as he has done with the silver and gold he had taken from all these nations, Edom and Moab, the Ammonites and the Philistines and Amalek. When we were kids, there was an 80s public service announcement commercial that we all made fun of because it was lame despite having a very serious message. Two kids happen upon a nerd in a restroom and corner him. Got the lunch money? You know what happens if you tell anyone. If you lived through the 80s at all, you saw that commercial played every day. It was kind of like the one that showed an egg cracking into a skillet. Before that egg hit the pan, the voiceover said, this is your brain. Then as the egg hit the pan and began to fry, the voice said, this is your brain on drugs. Any questions? It was kind of powerful, but the fact that it was so short and we saw it so many times, we made fun of that one too. But back to that kid in the bathroom getting picked on by bullies. Got the lunch money? Well, imagine if that kid was like, yeah, I got your lunch money. I got your lunch money right here. You want it? Come get some. Now, that'd be a commercial we would not make fun of. In fact, I think we'd all go around back then, 8 or 9 years old, going, come get some. You see, when someone stands up to a bully like that, we call it payback. and payback seems to be a sweet thing. You see, David was taking back the lunch money for all the years of servitude, raiding, and plundering that had been done during the time of Judges, which wasn't really all that long ago before this passage. You know, when you start to walk in the Spirit, completely yielding to God, God begins to restore much that sin took. There are some things that will remain broken, unfortunately, forever. Not everything can get payback in this world, and not everything broken can get fixed. But David would also find out that much that could be restored would be. You see, people who spend their money on drugs or partying suddenly find out how much of a hole booze ate in their budget as well as their liver. People who were never addicted to pornography end up becoming enslaved night after night, watching endlessly, never satisfied as their brain uses the endorphins that are produced by the momentary thrill as a drug. And over time, that neurological thrill stops being produced and they go after it to find it. You see, pornography takes from the richness of their life and it also steals buckets of time required to get that feeling back. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and more abundant. You see, there's an abundant life that Jesus has for all of us. A life in the Spirit, a life of grace, a life of love, the rest of God that sin just can't offer. If you've been bullied by sin, ask God to give you the courage, like David, to stand up to it. And watch as the riches of God, like David's spoils of war in this chapter, begin to rush back into your life. You'll find time restored back to you. You'll find that hole in your budget starting to be filled as you make wiser financial choices than just spending it on booze or whatever else it is. You see, David wasn't just defensive like the Israelites had been over the years. David was able to get into a position where he was offensive. Sin wasn't just kicking his butt around the neighborhood all day long. Instead, David became the one who began to say, you know what, this is our turf and we're taking it now. In fact, God promised all of this to us and we're taking it back. Believer, have you come to the point where you've realized Jesus promised you an abundant life? He did, but sometimes you got to fight for it. He fought for you. He fought for you to have the abundant life. He took on sin, he took on guilt, and he took on death for you. But you have to fight to keep it. If you let sin kick your butt around the neighborhood all day long, then guess what? You're not going to experience the things that Jesus fought for you to have. David is marked as a king who says, you know what? God did promise us these things. Let's follow him with our entire whole heart and see if God actually delivers the things that he promised if we would. Believers, the teaching of the gospel is that you don't have to be enslaved or in bondage anymore to sin and guilt or the fear of death. Jesus has set you free from all those. Live as free and fight, and you'll know the spoils of war.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.